Okay, welcome back. Boy, did the weekend go fast. I'm not even sure there was one, to tell you the truth. We're going to spend the first 90 minutes tonight with one of the greatest individual heroes of our time that I've ever had the pleasure of talking to. There are a number of heroes out there, of course, but William Rodriguez was on this program a couple of weeks ago and told his story about the World Trade Center, what happened to him, and it resonated with so many people that I'm still getting emails about it. The fascinating thing about William Rodriguez is that literally around the world, he is an acknowledged hero, a great tribute to what the human species can be. But nobody knows about him here. Need I tell you, good informed listeners, why? I don't think so. Many of you understand. I'm going to read just a little bit from an article about William Rodriguez by Greg Szymanski, who was just a guest on the program last Thursday. But he has summed it up very nicely. And then we're going to get to William and hear part two of his story. And I urge all of you to go to the archives and listen to part one, August the 3rd, just 2 weeks ago. It is absolutely one of the most riveting, inspiring, true stories you will ever hear. Here from Greg Szymanski's article now are just a few graphs to help set the stage for tonight's part two with William. What happened to William Rodriguez the morning of 9/11 is a miracle. What happened to his story after the fact is a tragedy. But with miracles and tragedies comes truth, and truth is exactly what Rodriguez brings to the whole mystery surrounding 9/11. Declared a hero, literally worldwide, for saving numerous lives at Ground Zero, he was the janitor on duty the morning of September 11th who heard and felt the violent explosions which rocked the basement sublevels of the North Tower just seconds before the jetliner struck the upper floors. William not only claims he felt the explosions coming from below the first sub-basement level while working in the basement, he says the walls were cracking all around him, and he pulled one man to safety by the name of Felipe David, who was severely burned from the basement explosions. All these events occurred only seconds before and during the jetliner strike above, and through it all, William now asks a simple question that everybody ought to be asking. How could a jetliner hit 90 stories above and burn a man's arms and face to a crisp in the basement below within seconds of impact? Rodriguez claims this was impossible, as does about everyone else who honestly looks at the story, and clearly demonstrates a controlled demolition brought down the World Trade Centers, saying, let's see them, the government, of course, try to wiggle out of this one. Well, they haven't wiggled out of it because the government continues to act like William Rodriguez doesn't exist, basically ignoring his statements and the fact that he rescued one man burnt and bleeding from the basement explosions. Call it inconvenient, call it whatever you want, the government continues to show William Rodriguez the door, if anything. But we don't, and we're really honored to have this gentleman back with us tonight. Hello, William, and welcome back.
Oh, my God, I'm so humbled by all the stuff that you just said. Oh, God, thank you for having me again, and for me, it's a pleasure to be on your show. For me, it's the privilege, and believe me, I'm very grateful to have this forum to let the truth out.
William, if there were more human beings like you, my friend, we'd be a much better planet, and that's all I'm going to say and leave it at that. I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. You are an extraordinary person.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's been a very strange week. After I spoke to you, we won a big major lawsuit here in New York. We got the tapes released from the fire department in New York.
Now, that's important to point out that that was your lawsuit that got those tapes released.
That is correct. Yeah. And 4 years after, a little late, remember, they wanted this record sealed for 50 years.
Yep.
We got them out, and still it's not enough. We still need to get more. There's, listen to this, and for the audience out there, so you will have an understanding what we are dealing with here in New York.
Uh-huh.
I go on Friday, the day that they're releasing the records, the tapes, to get my own copy as the leader of the victims, as one of the person that sued And when I get over there, the first thing they told me that I have no right to get a pack, but I have to, that only was for the families. And I said, hold on, the lawsuit is there because my group and Sally Regenhardt's group, and I do have the right. I'm the last survivor, and we went to court for this. So, yeah. Well, I'm sorry, yeah. We cannot do this. You know, the funny thing is that I went outside, and I have the crew from Univision Network and Telemundo Network, uh-huh. And I say, please follow me. I went back inside.
Good for
and
you.
I said, will you please repeat this in front of the cameras that you are not giving me my pack of the tapes?
Uh-huh.
And they were like totally red-faced, and they have to give it to me. And then we went and did a press conference about it.
Good for you.
But you see what we're dealing with. It's a whole thing that they don't want us to know. They don't want to give us what we deserve as survivors and family members. It just doesn't make any sense that even the same people that have suffered so many losses, mm-hmm. like the fire department, mm-hmm. have to come up mm-hmm. and confront a legal battle in court. And, of course, under the civil rights articles, they lost. And they have to release this, but they didn't lose completely because they retained the right mm-hmm. to edit this tape, to edit this transcript, and they retained the right to avoid putting on the transcript the actual directives of the strategy to evacuate people from the building. Yes. So we still don't know exactly what happened. Again, we still don't know the truth.
Unreal. Well, that's what happens when... one lives in a, unfortunately, I have to say this, it's almost a fascist dictatorship. We're very close to that in this country, as you well know. The cover-up here not only just absolutely desecrates the memories of the loved ones who were lost in this tragedy, but it insults not only, I think, the American public, but the world, to watch this government acting above the law, above morality, above every kind of common decency standard that I think we can come up with. And they did the same thing, William, with the shoot down of TWA Flight 800. They did the same basic thing with Oklahoma City. They have a record of this. They, capital they, are the evil on the planet, and we are in a death struggle with that evil right now. And you've been on the forefront of
it. And they're presenting themselves as our saviors. That's the ironic part of it.
Sure,
and I follow you for so long, and you have said so many things that are so right that, you know, I want to point them out to the audience because it relates to my ordeal. You have, through these years, spoken about, number one, how 9/11 has been the excuse for every single thing that has happened in terms of our losing rights. Within 9/11, in one single stroke, we erased more than 50 years of civil rights movement,
yes.
more than 50 years of privacy rights movement. We have erased practically everything. We're living in a quasi-dictatorship.
Right.
In a single stroke. And we regret that. We, the actual people that were part of 9/11, have felt that we have been manipulated and practically put in this metamorphosis.
Absolutely.
Of political yeah. maneuver.
You've been degraded, you've been abused, you've been made
Correct.
A tool to help destroy the American way of life, our Bill of Rights, our Constitution. You again, the survivors and the victims of September 11th have been, I just think, treated as horribly as anyone could be treated. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around the dimensions of this and the frustration, William, and the emotional duress that you and others, the families, have gone through. And still, these people, these creeps who run this country now, will not come forth with our evidence. It's not their evidence, it's our evidence.
That is so true. And one thing you have mentioned, too, is that thing that we are dealing with something called post-traumatic shock disorder, the survivors.
Yes.
We have been suffering this for the last 4 years because what we have seen. Now, you may remember after 9/11, this whole thing about collecting money, the Federal Compensation Fund, all these different things
yeah.
to actually collect funds for these victims.
Mm-hmm.
The survivors are the actual people that got less than anybody else. Families got money. The families got money. I mean, we sued the government four times, and we won four times to change the rules and the regulation of the Federal Compensation Fund so they could get money. But the actual survivors, you know, all the money went to these organizations for mental health and things like that, and never got funneled for the real needs of these people.
Agreed. Stand by, William. We'll come right back. And I'm glad all of you are out there with us again tonight to help not only hear more of what happened to William Rodriguez, but to honor him and all of those who are no longer with us. We never must forget September 11th, and we will never stop working to try to get our evidence, our data, our truths from the hands of these people who would deny them to us. We'll be right back in just a couple of minutes. With William Rodriguez. By the way, if you missed the earlier interview we did again on August the 3rd, I urge you to listen to it. You'll hear how William saved lives and ultimately went far beyond risking his own, and somehow through a miracle ended up underneath, took refuge underneath a fire engine in front of the collapsing building. They dug him out hours later and he survived. Just an absolutely mind-boggling story. William, how much more data are they keeping from us that you and your colleagues have in your sights as something that we should be able to get?
Well, we only got, from the amount of data they have, like 50,000 actual pages, we got only 12,000.
That's it? Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. So you got, you know, you got 20%.
Yes, there should be more, but that's only part of it. We need data from NORAD. We need data from FAA. We need data from the FBI. All this stuff that happened last week after we spoke has been, again, mind-boggling, because now they have information, and I got to give credit to people like you. They have all the sudden information from the FBI 2 years prior, I mean 1 year prior to 9/11.
I know. It just goes on and on.
As we keep the pressure, things will keep coming out.
Yeah, we have to.
But if you let go and you accept what the government is telling you as the official story, you're just going to be flim-flam.
And we know the techniques they use to direct people in other areas of concern. Another tragedy will take a lot of the energy from this and pour it into the next tragedy. I'm sorry to say that, but that's how they operate, and we all know it. It's unfortunate.
And we're expecting it. The survivors, the family leaders, we have been talking about it for the latest. I mean, for the last couple of months, that something big is going to happen here in the United States.
And it's scary,
because
William,
because you need to divert the attention.
Right. The more, exactly, precisely, the more success you have, the more danger, in a way, many people are in this country, because they will not rest. They will not give up their control under any circumstances. I think they'll take everyone down with them before they give it up. That's my own
personal theory. Oh, I believe that.
I think that maniacal and that evil, I don't think they care at one whit about any of us. So we're almost in a catch-22 situation. We want the data. We're going to keep pressuring them through heroes like you and your colleagues and friends and supporters and the families. And yet they, if they feel the heat, they're going to have to do something. So it's, as you well know, it's what a terrible dilemma. They know we know it, and they're listening right now. But, you know, to hell with all of you, you crooks and murderers. That's what I say. And real Americans still know what's going on here. Okay, so what's next? Back to court?
Next, well, you see, one thing that we started to touch on the last recording was how we went to Congress to get the 9/11 Commission to be created.
Yes.
And we went to Congress, and we have to fight harder. And you might remember that the president said, we don't need an investigation.
I remember. Dismissed it out of hand.
Yeah, we know who did it.
Sure.
We know who did it, and we did not agree with that. And we pressed, and then we pressed for the 9/11 Commission to have subpoena power, which they did not want. And after we pressured, they got it. And guess what? They never used it. It's kind of stupid when you have a commission, a congressional commission, and they don't have the power to legally force somebody to give you the documents.
Honestly, that commission was the biggest fraud since the Warren Commission.
Everybody
knows it. William, when they, I keep using they, everyone knows who I mean, when the Bush cabal, the Bush cartel, the Bush-Cheney cartel nominated Henry Kissinger to oversee this committee. And
we went crazy. We went crazy right away. Say, how are you going to put somebody that is considered a war criminal in another country as a head of the commission? It doesn't make any sense. We don't want it. We don't want to accept it. And all of a sudden, he said he had other conflict of interest and he wouldn't be able to do it after he said yes.
I think it was
offending to us.
Absolutely. I think they did it on purpose, William, to see how much reaction there would be. I really do. I think it was a trial balloon. Let's put Henry up there and just see how much strength these people
have. If it goes through, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I believe that too. The funny thing is that we fought very hard to have a family member as part of the commission, and they didn't want that.
Amazing.
From the beginning, they said, we don't want a family member because, number one, it's going to be too emotional for them. Humbug. And number two, because it needs to have clearance for national security because of the amount of information.
Right.
They say, excuse me. Listen, when I go to the White House, they clear me up within 3 hours.
Yep.
And you're going to tell me that you will have to go through a problem of having a family member to be part of a commission because he doesn't have a national security clearance? It does not make any sense. You know why? Because people forget that the World Trade Center was a community
mm-hmm.
of very highly successful professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? People that were very prepared. And within the family members, you're going to get lawyers. You're going to get architects. You're going to get people that are very highly qualified to be part of that commission.
Certainly.
And they say no. They saw everybody as William Rodriguez, just a regular janitor that didn't have anything to do with politics. And
so they downgraded the whole professional competence, expertise, and accomplishments of those
Correct.
People. They just called them all just normal, blue-collar types, whatever. They
Correct.
Dismissed them. You know, I got to say this as we go to our break, William. Those people, those evil people, are very good at playing these kinds of games. They know every trick in the book. They know delay. They know obfuscation. They know slander. They know libel. They know it all. And you fight a monumental battle, and you've done magnificently against them so far. They are extremely capable in many ways. Back in just a minute with William. Stay tuned as we will take this short bottom of the hour break. Going back to this alleged 9/11 whitewash commission, when that came together and you saw the final constitution of the commission, even though Kissinger said he had other obligations and wouldn't be able to carry on with it, how did you all look at it? Did you say, all right, this is going to be another enormous challenge? Did you see anybody on there who was sympathetic? How did you view it?
I view it as a selection. selection, a partisan selection of the people that they wanted to have there. The only person that I have more trust than anybody else in there was Senator Kerry, and because he was the one asking the hard questions.
Right.
But even though we expected more from them, and we have a family steering committee, and we were actually placing questions that the family had every single hearing, and mm-hmm. we were never getting the answers. The questions were not coming up.
So there was a steering committee that was handling the input to the committee at large, the larger committee?
Of the family concerns, correct.
I got you. Okay. Wow.
Because we needed to have some kind of control in terms of what we needed to know.
Sure.
The commission exists because of the family.
Sure.
It would have been a dishonor by the government not to actually confront the questions that we have. But guess what? They never confront them, all the questions. We wanted to know, for example, that from the hijackers, nine of them were singled out in different airports. Singled out, and they were put through machines, and somehow they came out on the computer red flag system.
Mm-hmm.
And who took the decision to let them in? Who took the decision to allow them once the computer singled them out to allow them to go into the planes? Who took the decision? What is the parameters that are required by the government to put you on the watch list?
Right.
They never answer you those questions. They are using these things arbitrarily.
They did
things
nothing.
Like that. The problem with NORAD, how they come out with the explanation that 2 hours of flight path data and mm-hmm. conversation with the pilots were erased by a supervisor because he didn't want to give the families the grief to hear those tapes.
Please.
Hello, that's obstruction of evidence.
Of course.
And now you have these guys having promotions all over. Everybody in the commission got promotions.
Well,
hello.
They did their job, didn't they?
They did what they needed to be done.
What a corrupt, horrible, hideous thing. And I don't know anyone who took that seriously, but to hear just these few vignettes from you about it, it's even more. I don't know how you stayed the course. It's so nauseating, the whole thing. Just
because we wanted to believe. It's like in the Latin, they have something called almost vult decipi, which means the men want to believe. And it's true. Give them what they want. And they were practically manipulating us all the time. And I was part of that manipulation. I was part of the machinery, Jeff.
Yeah.
Because here I am, and they made me a hero. They made me national hero. They're taking me to the White House. Wow, to the White House.
Mm-hmm.
They are actually making me part of their little clique.
Yep.
And
yep.
I am here overwhelmed with all this recognition. Oh, my God, they are giving me an award for this and an award for that. But guess what? I don't eat with that.
Yeah, they're buying you off.
They were buying me off. I realized that. And I said, whoa, hold on. I realized they're taking me out of my course.
Yep.
And my course was to actually validate the existence of the people that died there.
Right.
What way to do this? My God, it was a constant manipulation.
As I said, they're very good.
They were very, very effective. And it took a very deep, for me, it was an emotional reality confrontation
mm-hmm.
because I realized, oh, my God, I'm just forgetting about something very important,
mm-hmm.
that the truth has to come out.
Yeah.
I've been part of this machinery without knowing it.
Of course, well, you didn't know. Now, as we talked in the past, William, around the world, not just the Latin, Spanish-speaking world, but much of the rest of the world, you were known. Your story was known. It was reported all over the planet.
But not here.
Americans
not here.
Are so terribly deprived of information. And yet, intuitively, they know, I think the majority knows without question, that this thing stinks to high heavens. They don't have the data the rest of the world does. They don't know about William Rodriguez. But they know the thing is rotten at the top. They
but even here, my story was constant. Every single week, I was on television.
Yeah.
But always on the Latino news. I mean, Telemundo National, Univision National, the biggest networks on the Latino community.
Well, they
would put me on. I'm the expert for them.
Univision.
I'm the expert for CNN en Español. CNN en español,
not in
which is incredible. But then CNN in English won't touch me.
Well,
and I'm their expert.
The game is played. The game is played. All right. The families. How are they? How are they holding up? Are they? Are they? Any of them getting to the point
bad.
Where they say?
No, they're bad, Jeff. Let me clarify something with you.
That's where I was going to go.
Let me clarify something for you. This is not any better. Every year that passes, getting worse. Number one, families are overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Their grief has been nonstop. You see something, they are going something called to ourselves, what we call the media shutout. They have closed doors to all the media because they were manipulated so bad that mm-hmm. they don't trust anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They will have, the media will go to their houses, to these families, and do their interviews for the emotional value
yep.
and leave these people on emotional despair.
So they milk them.
Yeah, well. Quasi-reporters that have no training on crisis counseling.
Beautiful.
They didn't know how to deal with a victim of terrorism.
Quasi-reporters.
I just left them there. And
so
these people just came out. The destruction, the emotional destruction was constant. And up to this moment, 4 years after, their wounds are open. Let me tell you something. New York is 9/11. We live about every single day. Something about 9/11. Now, on top of that, they manipulate you psychologically with this sense of insecurity, constant insecurity. Now, we're going to raise the levels of warnings. We are going to make a drill for bioterrorism. Now it's going to be the trains. It's a constant. The insecurity that we are living as victims of 9/11, it's not a healing process. We never had a healing process.
No, I really appreciate you mentioning the term quasi-reporters because most of these people, as you listeners know, are not journalists at all. They're out to look and grab as much grief and emotion and death as they can to pump into their news. That's what they're feeding on. It's tabloid news. It's not journalism. It's a horrible thing, and as William points out, it abuses terribly people who have been through hell. And it makes me sick. Okay, back in just a minute with William as we continue. The response from the world to you, Univision and others, Telemundo, has been, how would you characterize it? First of all, we certainly understand that you would receive just wonderful and appropriate letters, deserved letters of praise for what you did. But looking at America from abroad and hearing what really happened through the mind and the words of William Rodriguez, what is the reaction of people outside this country to watch what has happened to the American government?
I went to Europe a month ago.
With Jimmy Walter.
He put up this wonderful crew of experts, and I was the only person that was there to validate their stories because I was there. I experienced what they couldn't really talk about, my experience.
Yes.
And what I received from this trip was something bigger than I expected. Jeff, I went to Madrid, for example. Madrid. They just went through the March 11 bombing year anniversary.
Yes.
And very emotional, very sad. I did a ceremony for the victims. And I tell you something. Nobody believed our situation here with the press because they knew that somehow they were using the same techniques of 9/11 there in Spain.
Uh-huh.
Now, they're following all our steps, one after the other. A commission, the government said that it was ETA, which was the VASC movement.
VASC, yeah.
And they sent directives to every embassy in the world to actually come out and officially say that it was ETA, and a radio station over there called Radio SER came out and said the only radio from 200 radio stations over there in Madrid was the only one that went against the official story, and then everybody jumped into the bandwagon. And that's how the whole thing got dismantled, the whole theory.
The whole cover-up, yeah.
Yeah, so automatically Madrid knew that the whole story with 9/11 was fake. Then London, then Amsterdam, Paris, Berlin, Vienna, Rome. We couldn't find one single place or one single person on these places that will actually come out and say, oh, no, you guys are wrong. The government story is right. The official story is the correct one.
That's incorrect.
Guess what? Nobody said that. You know what they said? Are you stupid or what? We are getting undiluted news here. We're seeing CNN because we get CNN here. But at the same time, we got our correspondents over there giving us the real facts. So we are having a comparison, a constant comparison, and we could see where the obstacles are.
The lies.
The lies, yeah. the illusion. This is what I call a David Copperfield grand illusion.
Very good. Misdirection, all the rest of it, yep.
All the time. And and I'm a person, I was a magician for 30 years, so I know what
Were
I'm talking
really?
About.
That's fascinating.
Yes. Yeah. I was an illusionist for 30 years. My teacher was the amazing Randy, the guy that investigates claims of the paranormal.
Sure.
Yeah. And so, you know, I had a background of investigation, and that's how I got involved with everything with the families. So you see, that opens a lot of explanation of what has happened with my life and the movement.
Yeah.
But I tell you, it's been an experience, and I'm very grateful to Mr. Walter, because otherwise my story I wouldn't have been able to meet with these people that so much wanted to talk to me over there.
Yes, yes.
And in a way, I mean, Jimmy Walter was so impressed that he gave me practically the whole organization to organize it here in the United States.
Wonderful.
So, which is good. And I tell you, it's been an eye-opener.
Well, to understate it, I mean, it's been almost down to the cellular level. It's a whole thing.
And every country has their own 9/11, because Madrid has their own, London has their own, Berlin has their own, everybody knows that. Rome, they were talking to me about family members from a plane crash from the 80s that the government lied to them. And it was actually two fighter jets that brought down a passenger plane. And they have to fight through a whole process to get the truth out.
Every country, every people.
Every country has their own 9/11.
So they knew. And do they have any any optimism for America somehow to recover from the cartel that has taken over here and really what amounts to a coup d'etat?
They see it as a whole conspiracy on every single level, and the people in power will do anything at their hand to avoid this loss of power. Because what I said,
single stroke,
they have required to grab all your rights in a single strike. And now remember, they can go into your house without an order of arrest, without an order of court. To actually tap your phone, they can do whatever they want right now. You have no say. And they have been fooling people, placing people on the media, like people on the street saying, oh, yes, I have no problem with giving up some rights as long as I feel more secure. You say, excuse me? Listen to what you're saying.
I don't know
I'm giving up my right
that.
To feel more secure? How's that?
Right.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, of course not.
So, you know, we are being sold these bill of goods that are not coming out to be the right thing. This is just mind-boggling. And because we are being experiencing this in New York, it's a constant disgust.
why haven't more New Yorkers raised hell about this? Or have they tried and just been simply shut out again by the media?
They have been shut out by the media. You may remember that we did the biggest march against the war in New York. Oh, it was a quarter of a million people. We only expected 10,000 people, and we got a quarter of a million people.
Yeah.
And then the media, yes, they cover it, and all of a sudden, there were more rallies after that, but we never got it on TV. How's that?
Yeah, I remember.
Amazing. It just, you know, it's...
It goes on and on.
It goes on and on, yes.
Okay,
but it has to be a grassroots movement.
Yeah.
We have to get the information out. I have a mission to get this information out. I'm actually trying to put a documentary together and trying to raise some funds to actually have... I set up 22 people that were inside the building to validate the stories that I've been telling you about.
22.
To actually make a documentary of the real thing of the people that were never called by the 9/11 Commission, and they have crucial key testimony that should have been heard.
Mm-hmm.
And there it goes.
Maybe Mr.
That's what
Walter,
we're trying to do now.
Maybe Mr. Walter will help you do this. Their stories need to be documented and archived, of course.
I want this to be done by the American people, not by one single person. I think it should be a responsibility of everybody to be involved in a project like this.
Well, it would be wonderful to see it happen. I hope it does. I hope it
Thank
does.
You so much. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I signed a deal with American Free Press to do a book about my experience. Mm-hmm. At least an independent group is trying to do something about it.
Right.
Which is good. I have the only book in Spanish about 9/11. Just that tells you how bad the whole thing is out there.
Well, the whole thing just leaves me almost speechless, and it goes on and on. Are we going to see any kind of a breakthrough, do you think, in the next three
yes.
or 4 months? What do you
Oh,
expect?
Yes, yes. Well, we are doing several strategies on different angles. Number
yes.
one, I have the lawsuit against the president in court. We went to the second motion. They tried to dismiss the motion
mm-hmm.
under the AFTA rules, which means that any victim that have received compensation cannot sue the government or the president. But the funny thing is that they forgot I never received any money.
Isn't that
I didn't
amazing?
Receive any compensation. I did not forfeit my right
yeah.
to sue the government.
Oh, you did? Yeah, I see. Okay, good. Now, people don't know that, William. They don't know that the victims, when they received compensation, waived their rights.
They did. They did. Part of getting the money, and they sold you this, again, this bill of goods that please do it. That way you don't have to go through a long battle of litigation to get
right.
money from any lawsuit. This way you get money fast and everybody is happy and dandy. The federal compensation fund that was actually presented by Master Kenneth Feinberg
mm-hmm.
was a bailout for the government, for the airline industry,
right.
for the Port Authority and the construction okay. people that were involved with the construction of the World Trade Center.
Okay.
In a single fund, they actually eliminated on this multi-million dollar fund
right.
the practical years of litigation that these people will have to face. But the thing is, at the same time, it was just a scheme. Because now look at the situation with the fire department that I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
We have to sue for those recordings. Why they didn't want to give the recordings? Because they said because of the grief of the family. Hello?
No, no,
wasn't
no.
the grief. Because all you hear on the recordings is the level of disorientation and the lack of communication between radios.
Correct.
The problem with the communication. Nobody knew what was going on.
Right.
So, of course, the litigation are going to start again. We lost against Motorola. Because Motorola had the technology.
Mm-hmm.
But they sold them low-grade radios to communicate between buildings.
It's amazing.
Now, we have the evidence again to bring the lawsuit all over again against Motorola.
Excellent.
So
How
you
much...
see, it's all a fear of what's going to be out there and the money it will cost to the different departments and companies that are involved with mm-hmm. 9/11.
How much was the fund to pay off the families, to buy their silence, basically? What was that?
$6.5 billion.
$6.5 billion.
Yes, okay. But remember, it was self-appropriating. That means to anybody that is listening that if they needed more money, they didn't have to go through Congress. Kenneth Feinberg could go directly to the Appropriation Committee and said, I need $2 billion more.
mm-hmm. They're slick. They are slick.
Very slick.
Wow. All right, stand by, William. We'll take a break, come back another half an hour to go with William Rodriguez and his incredible story. Don't miss the first part of it in our archives from August the 3rd. We shall continue. I'm Jeff Rentz, coast to coast on the GCN, that's Genesis Communications Network, and of course on the internet as well, worldwide. My website at rentz.com, R-E-N-S-E, has very happily and in an honored sense been able to carry some of the works explaining William's own heroics and his struggle, as well as the families and his colleagues. William, as you look at the 9/11 research community, and it is a big one, on the internet primarily, yes. You start to see things that are so far out and over the top, they've got to leave you just scratching your head. I mean, we both know, all of us know, that there are disinformation agents being paid by U.S. taxpayers, ultimately, to work on the internet to cause confusion, to cause fights, to cause doubts, all the rest of it. We know the games. There is so much noise out there in the research community now. How do people, do you have any advice for people who are trying to wade through it all to come up with reality? I mean, some of this stuff is nutty, like there were no planes. There were no planes at all. It was some hologram. Come on. Gee. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
You see, I have heard everything out there, and it does amaze me how some groups are so extreme. I have to be very careful, more than anybody else in general, because I am called to speak to different organizations, different churches, different groups about my story. And I don't want to sound like I am validating their position.
Right.
You see?
Right.
And a lot of people will use me or will try to use me. I have to be very careful constantly. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of extremists out there, and like you said, disinformation. So you have to take it upon yourself to do the research, to come up with the reality of what you experience and take that experience and confront it with whatever is out there. But you have said it very, very well. You know, there's so many groups, there's so many, and there is an industry, let's put it that way.
Yeah, you bet.
There is a huge industry out there, and I feel bad because sometimes here I am, a person that did so much, and I was homeless last year. Homeless. I was doing interviews while I was living in my car under a bridge.
Oh, amazing.
Jeez. Okay? And I would go to this group, and they're selling books, they're selling DVDs, they're selling this, they're selling that, and I wasn't getting anything. You see?
And again, to reiterate, you turned down the money. Nothing to do with the money. Okay.
I didn't want it. Number one, I created the Hispanic Victims Group. I created the Victim Support Group. I created these groups to actually advocate directly for funds so they could get the needed help that they so desperately wanted at that time. I didn't want to be a funnel. I didn't want to be an administrator of money or funds or a non-for-profit. And a lot of people told me in the government, I'm going to tell you names, the governor's office, the attorney general's office. They said, Willie, you're doing this wrong. You got to establish yourself as a non-for-profit organization and get a salary for what you're doing. It's perfectly legal. But I said, it's legal to you, it's immoral to me. Because what I'm doing right now is because the people that I lost.
Right.
And I'm doing it because I am addicted to help. And there's such an addiction. I got addicted to help the people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I found that at the moment that I needed some help, that I actually, for the first time, said, you know, I've done this much. I need some help. Can you help me? I found all the doors closed. And that was depressing and sad thing for me to confront. It's wrong.
It's totally wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
But, hey, you know, God really works in mysterious ways, and He put you some tools out there to survive in the most difficult situations, and that's what I did. And that just knock me off.
Are you doing okay now?
I'm doing okay, and I'm doing better because I have more respect now from the people, believe it or not, for what I went through, because the news went onto the bridge to film me, and they didn't even know that, and they put on all of the news over here, National Hero is homeless. So it was a big scandal, but I wasn't ashamed, because it wasn't because of my own doing. It was because I was helping people, and that gave the community more respect for what I stand for, because, number one, I wasn't making any money. I wasn't exploiting anybody.
You could have made a fortune.
I could have made a fortune from the moment I was pulled from the rubble.
Of course.
You know, I got probably on 20, last time I counted, was 23 different television specials from all over the world.
Yeah.
I have hundreds and hundreds of interviews from TV, radio, newspapers. You could mention it. You can check on the internet. Just type my name and put 911 after that, and you're going to get hundreds and hundreds of interviews from all over. But guess what? A lot of people, you say, well, if you get a penny from each one or you get a dollar for each one, you would have been made. But it wasn't about that. It was about telling the truth.
It's so sad people
getting the information out.
Yeah, there's a higher calling.
Yes. And, you know, I never felt, and I still, at this moment, I don't feel I have to commercialize with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making the book.
But I'm making
the book to get the story out.
That's your
Because
truth.
It's the only way the American people will know. I contacted personally 60 Minutes 2 weeks after 9/11 to tell them my story so they will get their record straight, historical accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? They said to me, no, we're only concentrating on firemen's and policeman's story. We don't want to know anything about the civilians.
Isn't that incredible, friends?
Clear words. That's exactly, and this is coming from 60 Minutes.
Yeah. Well,
Greg Szymanski contacted NBC, contacted CNN about why they didn't actually follow up with all the information that I gave them. I said, and they said, well, it wasn't the focus of our interviews.
Please.
I mean, Jeff, if I'm talking to you and I'm having a conversation and I said, oh by the way, during our conversation, I saw somebody kill a politician. But let's concentrate on our interview. You're just going to go, what?
Yep. That's a good point.
I mean, it's something called an ethical, an ethical calling for being a reporter, that you have to have your ears open.
Journalistic standards and ethics. But they're not. Most journalists are whores. And if they're not whores, they're out for their own self-betterment, their ego. Listen. Some of you folks out there are in journalism, and you're great people. We know who you are. You know who you are. And we all know who we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
And William's treatment is unforgivable. But it's not a surprise, because we know who tells CBS, NBC, ABC what to do, what to cover, and how to cover it. It's not a surprise.
And
remember,
I said something, Jeff, very simple.
Sure.
I'm angry. I'm hurt. But I represent the families, and I represent the memory of those people. And I will never say no to an interview that has to do with what happened on 9/11. And that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I may be angry with these people, but I never say no if they need to know the truth.
Sure.
I'm always there, and I'm still here.
Yeah.
I'm still here. I want the truth out. I mean, I interview for Kevin Flynn and the people from the New York Times for the book 102 Minutes. Four times.
Uh-huh.
they got the story of the
four
person
times.
That I brought on a wheelchair down to the bed, to the lobby,
yes,
when the building was collapsing, gave them the last minutes to this guy.
Yes.
And guess what? They didn't even mention me. They didn't even mention my story.
Yeah,
I disappeared. All of a sudden, this poor man, quadriplegic, ABA, that was his name,
mm-hmm,
walked down the stairs practically, because it doesn't show anywhere in the book how he was brought down. It's incredible. And when he was contacted, Kevin Flynn from the New York Times, all he said, well, we didn't have enough space to put William's story in there.
BS. Look,
one of the key stories of
9/11. Yeah, I hate to tell you, but your hometown paper there, my friend, is nothing but a mouthpiece for the controllers.
I believe it.
We know.
I learned the hard way again.
Yeah, well, you're learning. Okay, so next, what do we do next, William? And assuming that something else tragically may happen, we need to keep focused on this. Let me rephrase my question. Have you met one person in government or in a government commission position who came to you and said, William, I know this is wrong. I know you've got a big story. I know this is a cover-up. Has anyone ever told you that or implied that in any level of government?
Yes.
Don't want any names.
I won't tell you the names, but I'm going to tell you who.
Huh.
Latino Congress people.
Okay.
Latino. I don't want to mention names.
Don't mention names.
Latino leaders. Community leaders, very recognized locally and nationally.
Good. Okay.
They said that we should get the information out, but we are the minority here.
Uh-huh.
And because they have seen me on TV practically almost every day.
Well, but they're on your team.
Tell you what, Jeff, I have been approached by the Republicans and by the Democrats to run for office. And I have said no to both of them.
Uh-huh.
Because I said, I am doing pretty well getting help for my people.
Yeah.
By doing what I'm doing, why damage it now?
What a noble man you are, my friend. Stand by. We'll take a break, mm-hmm, come back with William Rodriguez in our final segment with him tonight in just a couple of minutes. Back with William Rodriguez, whose eyewitness account, which again is recorded in our archives on August the 3rd, ignored, as you've heard, by the American alleged media and the government, paints a terrible picture of a vulgar, hideous, heinous cover-up at the highest levels of this government. The bomb that went off, William, the building was brought down by controlled demolition. There's no question about that. In your first interview, you explained how easy it is or was for someone to come in there, many people, to place these explosives. It was not a problem.
Correct.
Not a problem at all. How do you think the blast itself was coordinated? Was it any guess? People like to use the term mini nukes. I don't like to use that term. I don't necessarily agree that that's what had to be used down there. Have you any theories on what kind of explosion was used to just tear the guts out of the basement of the World Trade Center North Tower?
Well, very simple. I remember that on the first couple of days, they said that they smelled C4 in the area.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how C4 smells. I have no idea what an explosion smells like.
Who was
but
saying
I tell
that?
You, what I experienced on 9/11 on those stairwells was an acrid, remember this, acrid feeling on my throat, like sulfur and vinegar stuck on my throat. And that was the dust and the smoke that I was getting from the stairwell.
Interesting.
And I tell you, it's the exact feeling. And the smell was like wet cardboard.
Huh.
And I've been approached by many people with different theories, but they all told me that, you know, that's not jet fuel. That's definitely not jet fuel.
Well, forget about the jet fuel. Forget it. So, firefighters, as you know, when the firefighters got up to at least one of the towers near the fire, they said this fire, we need, I think, two hose lines is all they wanted, and their thing was out.
Well, listen, you look at the picture of that lady on the top of the building by the hole, and they said the fire was enough to melt the steel, but not to actually dissolve this woman. That doesn't make any sense.
No, it's a sham. Look, if a conspiracy is a fact, it's not a conspiracy. And the facts of this story are so great and so enormous in their scope and their impact that no one with half a brain who looks at this honestly can come away with anything less than these buildings were brought down. They were brought down so neatly, William, so amazingly efficiently, too. That still surprises a lot of people when they begin to study this.
Don't go far. Look at my experience again. I'm under the fire truck, and the building collapsed right on top.
Exactly.
That building dissolved. My friend, that building dissolved, because if that building went down with the huge concrete that was in there on every floor, I wouldn't be here to tell you the story.
No, there's too much material. It would have covered the fire truck.
Definitely. And the fire truck, it would have been totally destroyed.
How close
I would have been crushed
building?
To death, but I'm here telling you the story.
How close to the building was the fire truck, William?
Right in front of the revolving doors.
Unbelievable.
We're talking about 12 feet away.
Unbelievable. And that building, that's the word, that building was dissolved.
Dissolved. And when I was pulled from the rubble and I looked what was there, those piles, and all I saw was dust. Gray dust and paper. The only thing that you saw was paper.
Not huge pieces of concrete. Nothing.
No.
Dust.
Dust. I don't like, Jeff, to say conspiracy. What I said is the story that they gave us is fake. It's not true. Because there's so much out there in terms of evidence that they did not actually investigate.
They wouldn't even look at
that
it.
We got half of the truth. We don't even got half.
No,
we got just a piece of the truth.
I agree. And WTC7, come on.
Come on. WTC7 totally destroyed with no impact of a plane and
nothing.
All the buildings surrounding
it just fell down. Basically.
Did not fell down. Exactly. How come the look, don't go far. Right next to Building 7 is a Verizon building. The Verizon building got hit. A huge hole was actually impacted by the North Tower into that building, and the building is still standing. And that building was constructed, I think, in the beginning of the century.
Truly historic building.
Yes.
Wow.
And then they said that the Millennium Hotel across the street was going to collapse next.
Yeah.
And nothing happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just mind-boggling.
The
Deutsche Bank across the street of the South Tower, totally impacted by the South Tower.
Yeah.
It's still standing. It's still there, full of asbestos, full of debris.
Yeah.
And it's going to be dismantled, but it's still standing.
It's astonishing. William,
it's only the area of the World Trade Center complex that was actually damaged.
Yes. Well, I think as we watch this story continue to unfold through the efforts of you and your colleagues and those families who are still active in it, I don't know even how to begin to thank you, William, for...
No, for me, no. Let me thank you. Let me say thank you, Jeff, for having this information out there. I want people to be aware of what's going on. I want people to know that if they need to contact me, they can do it through you. We will go anywhere and we'll speak. And I'm talking about you. I'm putting you as part of this.
Thank you.
I'm getting you involved as responsible to bringing me to your program.
I'm very happy to help.
But I will go anywhere, and they can contact me through you.
All right,
I am happy to do it, and please, let's get the information out. Don't take my word for it. Just go and investigate.
Right.
I can be contacted at wtcbill@gmail.com if somebody wants to write to me and ask questions.
WTCBill@... What is it again?
Gmail.com.
Gmail, the letter G?
.com. Or they can write to me at wpcreopen911.org.
Okay, very good. William, I'm honored to know you, and I mean that, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
We're going to do something big for September 11th, Jeff.
Okay, we'll have you back on.
Thank you.
Thank you, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Wow. Wow. Okay, we'll pause and come back.